I feel like today is not a day for a schmooze. I know you guys came for a schmooze, but I feel like for Ben Esbanim it's more like war strategy, you know, or like a coach, you know. So that's really how I feel about this. I first of all would like to thank the Rosh Yeshiva. I was just thinking about it, being in this place. I've been here for a few years. The Rosh Yeshiva is the only person I know who is successful in removing what's called Seif Zman. And it's an amazing thing. This place, basically till the end of the Zman, is moving up, and then there's just a healthy landing of the plane right now. And I think we have to be makir tov to the Rosh Yeshiva that we're on. He doesn't do this... you know, just for fun, to make these different programs. He literally finds a way of revolutionizing the way yeshiva should be set up, and I myself grow from it, and I feel the tremendous aliyah, something to be mizbeinen on. Maisa, the words bein hazmanim, I don't know who came up with the words, it's very logical, it's between two times. Bein Hazmanim. I'm going home for Bein Hazmanim. I'm doing this for Bein Hazmanim. Everybody calls it Bein Hazmanim. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what it means, Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim means between two times, right? It's a very interesting term. Usually there's a merit to of time in its own right. You call Chayrev Zman, Chayrev Zman. Kayetzman, there's Elulzman. Bein Hazmanim, it's such a dinky name. It's between times. I'm going home for between times. Like, if you say it in English, it sounds ridiculous. You're going home for between times? I'm going on vacation for between times. What kind of word is that, between times? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wanted us to associate this time as being a time of preservation. Preservation is like when you put something in the fridge so you don't want it to spoil. The whole goal of a fridge is not the fridge, right? If you have a chalent from Shabbos in the fridge, there's nothing about the chalent that's exciting in the fridge. The whole godless of the fridge is that you can open it up later and eat the chalent the whole week. That's the whole chap. The fridge allows you to enjoy the chalent at all different times. The whole godless of a fridge is preservation. And there's certain times in our lives where we need preservation, where the avoda is simply to preserve, to make sure that things don't get spoiled. That's what it means, between times. The goal is to get C.D. Stark from Chayrev Zman safely, you know, with an optimum, like an astronaut, get all the way to Kayet Zman without getting too messed up. I always end up the first week of the Zman, I don't like to give a shmooze, but I have to. It's my job. I like to sit in the crowd because I, you know, still feel like I'm in a mode where I could use somebody to uplift me, but they pay me to do this, so I don't have a choice. But there's this goal to get from one Zman to the next. That's the idea of Bein Hazmanim. And as much as a person shtelts to this mitzias, they'll be successful. As much as they realize it's a time for preservation. Perhaps the Remez Ladover we'd like to quote is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos Chaf. It's a pasuk in the Torah. There's something called Eish Tamid Al Mizbeach Lo Sichbe, that the fire on the Mizbeach should always be going. Now if you think about this pasuk, it's an interesting command, right? Usually we're practical people. When do you need the fire on the Mizbeach? For a carbon. Why do you need it always running? What's the point of something always running? And yet we find that there's a mitzvah like this to keep it always going. That it happens to be one of the nisim that it was an ongoing fire, but you had to add fuel to the fire to make sure it's going. Perhaps the idea is, as we know, the Nefesh HaChaim tells us that the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan are a form of us. And there's a part of us called Avoda. And that's the Mizbeach. That's the part of us that's serving Hashem. And there are times where there's very tangible avoda, where we can burn a carbon. You know, that's where we really feel like we're doing it. We're learning siddurim, and we're in yeshiva, and what's happening. And then once we feel we're out of that, shutdown mode. It's like, whoa, so now I'm here, and I'm out, And then all of a sudden, that's the bad Bein Hazmanim, when you don't think the fire is supposed to be burning. It doesn't say the fire is supposed to have a carbon now. It could be that it's not going to be the greatest man of Aliyah for a person. However, the fire is supposed to be burning because you are a Zman. You're somebody who's shayach to the Zman. You as a person are shayach to the Zman. And there's a certain Yetzirah to say, if there's no carbon to burn, I'm going to put out the fire. And that's this Nisayim. You know, I would like to go through a few mind games that we play with ourselves in life. Okay, this is one of my jobs in life, is to deal with mind games. There are certain mind games. A guy comes to me, he says, Rebbe, I want to come third year. Third year, very nice. Second year is ready, you know, kind of expected. Third year is ready. So he's telling me, why? Okay, why? I love the learning and this and that, and it's going, and I'm moving, I see my development. Okay, so what's your problem? Almost a true story, this story. He says, Rebbe, if I stay third year, I'm going to have to marry a girl named Fega Sprinza. Where'd that come from? It's like, Rebbe, third year guys marry girls named Fega Sprinza. I'm not ready for that. At first I was holding by a Sally before first year. Then I moved to a Rina, a Naima, or some nice name like that. Rebbe, third year is a Fega Sprinza. I'm not there. I'm telling you, Rebbe. So then I come with my brilliant idea. I say, Chaim Baruch, here's what we're going to do. Let's decide just about third year, and then later you can decide about Fega Sprinza. He goes, wow, Rebbe, that's brilliant. You're amazing, Rabbi Stark. It's all true about you. You see how easy it is to be a mashgiach. This happens to me all the time, Rebbe Ozai. And then I feel so wise. I'm like, yeah. It's true. Tashkocha protis. It's schools. What's going on over here? It's very simple. A lot of times we make big decisions when we can make small decisions. And the big decisions are scary. The big decisions are scary. Listen to this well. If you only listen to one part of the Shmuz, I want you to hear this. This is Chachmas HaChaim. The big decisions are very scary. You know why? Because they're big. They feel like, I have to be a different person if I do this. And the small decisions are much more doable. I'm only deciding this man. I'm not deciding to marry a girl named Fega Sprinza. It's much easier. The same thing happens in Bein Hazmanim. There's definitely merit to asking yourself, who am I right now? For sure there's merit. I'm leaving this man. Who am I? Am I a guy who does this? I don't want to mention examples on purpose, because every person's different. Am I a guy who does this? I did this before last year, but am I that guy now? Am I a guy who does this, or I do that? What type of guy am I? Those types of questions are useful, Barabosai, but that's very scary. Imagine someone says, hey, Baruch, want to come out with me? Moitze Shabbos, to here? And now will you go, oh, I have to decide if I'm that guy. If I go with him, fine, then I can still keep my chill. If not, I'm marrying a Fega Sprinza, because that's who I am. What's happening over here? Not who I am. Don't say that. You say a very simple thing. I have no clue who I am. I'm in yeshiva. I'm going to evaluate after a couple of years who I am. No idea who I am. But I don't want to ruin next zman. I'm in Bein Hazmanim right now. And I know these things will destroy my next zman. Not because I'm the Gadol Hadar, not because I'm glowing in the dark in Kedusha, that would really freak me out. I don't want to go with him to this place because I'm still in yeshiva. Be'etzem, I'm going back there and I want to keep this going. I invested a lot in last month. I don't want to just... And this is what happens. Guys come back from Bein Hazmanim and they're angry. They're angry about their Bein Hazmanims. Why? Because I think all their decision-making process, they didn't realize that it's just a goal to get from one place to another. And they got all crazy with themselves. Are these my friends? Are these going to be my friends? Am I going to invite them to my ufruf? Am I not? Am I going to take a stand now and get out of my life? Whoa! What happened to you? You just have to get from this man to the other one alive and Jewish. That's the goal. To keep your Judaism from here till here. And I'm telling you, if you make decisions this way, it'll be much calmer. There are certain things in our lives that we're not mature enough to let go of. And I think that's okay for now to not deal with that. Who says we have to decide everything at the ripe old age of 19 or 20 or even 21? Life is a process. The people who are not coming back next month, I have news for you. The shmuz is irrelevant to you. Because it's not a bein hazmanim for you. Now you have to ask, who are you? You're leaving yeshiva. Anyone who's leaving yeshiva can get a free pass to leave right now from the shmuz. The shmuz is irrelevant to them. You know why? Because they have to ask, who am I? I'm about to go into shiduchim. I'm about to embark on a new life. What am I about? But it's too premature to make those decisions now. And those decisions are scary. They're very scary. The reason you want to have a good bein hazmanim and stay away from things that you thought you're not holding by that is just because you were doing great in Chayrev Zman and you'd really like this to continue. The people who don't act this way, you have to spend a whole month detoxing from all the things that were going on in bein hazmanim, and then, you know, you feel like you just maybe got to where you were. It's not good. It's not what anybody wants. So a person has to understand this concept. There's an idea from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal, famous idea about Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva came and his wife, after 12 years, she said he could stay another 12 years and he didn't come home, right, in the middle. And the question is, why didn't he just say hello to the wife and kids? And the answer is 24 years is a lot better than 12 and 12, right? Very true, Yisod. However, that's Rabbi Akiva, and that's very hard. I personally would go inside and say hello to the wife and kids. I'm not there yet, but I understand the concept. But over here, we have to understand the concept of continuity. That's what we call the fire burning on a low, but still going. It's still on. We're not talking about staying in yeshiva through bein hazmanim. We're talking about a certain type of continuity that what I'm doing in bein hazmanim allows me to get from one place to another. That much we can expect from ourselves. And when you make decisions that way, it's much more calm. It's much more easy to deal with. Okay, so let's go through some things over here. One thing is having a day with structure, okay? What happens is you get home and like you're ready to go, but like it's just a big blob. Your life is a big blob and you just enter a big blob and you become a big blob. Everything about it is a blob. You have no idea what you're doing. The first thing is, how can you create any level of structure in your day? If a person wants to learn over bein hazmanim, which I highly recommend, they should first decide to get up in the morning. Whoa, Rabbi, that's deep. Yeah. The most important thing I think in life, and I tell this to people, I'm not joking. More than learning, I'm not a halakhic authority over here. I'm just a inspirational speaker. But I will tell you that I think more important than everything in life, is getting up at a normal time and getting up consistently at the same time. In my years of watching Bakrim go from Bakrim life to married life, I've seen that the level of success of people is not dependent on how much they learn necessarily. It's based on their concept of a structured day. A structured day in bein hazmanim is not all that structured, but it has to have bookends. It has to have a beginning and an end. A person should have an idea where they're davening and get up for that and try to be consistent. It's good practice for what we call being an adult. This is always my biggest question mark and my biggest agmas nefesh, is when you let people go from yeshiva, you watch what happens to them, and I'm telling you, it's a sad part of the whole thing, and sometimes it's very exciting. It's bittersweet because there are good times and bad times. You watch what happens to guys who have nobody on them. They're just alone. They're alone. That's the big question of how successful the yeshiva experience was based on how they do on their own. That's the definition of a gadol versus a katan. A katan is called, in Chazal, someone who's somich al shulchan aviv. He's dependent on somebody else. A gadol is somebody who's somich al shulchan atzmo. He has an arsenal of yir shamayim and hashkafas nechonos and motivation to do the right thing by himself. Now, we won't know about all of us, the jury's out, but a practice ground for this, which is exciting to practice, is Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is a window into an improvement in the area of being an adult. It's so important in marriage. Probably the biggest agmas nefesh that I get from wives who lament to me about problems with their husbands is oversleeping. It's very painful for women who get up early for work and they go to work and their husband's still in bed, and this happens all over Yerushalayim, Rabotai. It's incredibly painful. This guy was yapping away during dating, you know, about Vasikin. It's like, I told you I love Vasikin. I didn't say I go there. I love Vasikin. I'll talk about it all the time with a Coke in a lobby. But to get out of my bed, whoa, we didn't talk about that one. But the Bein Hazmanim is the time to say, can I get up? And it really doesn't matter what time. I mean, it matters that it's before Zman Kriya Shema. But it doesn't matter whether it's early or late within that framework. It matters that I can create a structure for myself, that I have a tzura to my day. If somebody wants to learn, they should try to learn before or after Shacharis or Mincha and Maariv. Why? Because these are religious experiences that hopefully they want to do. And once they go to that place, they have a good chance of doing another religious thing. Either before or after. It's like, it's just, you get there, you feel very religious, and you have a chance when somebody says, you know, we made up to learn, not to just spit in his face and run out. You have a chance. So a person should try to find times, if they're interested in learning Bezus Hashem, to put them in those Ruchnias Dik posts during the day. That creates a tzura to the day. Now, in terms of the rest of the time, Rav Yerucham says the following thing, and this really should be more well known because it's such an important yesod. It says in Pirkei Avos, Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah and the way of the world are good together. Why? Sheyigias Shnehem. Real hard work in those things. Toil is Mishkachas Oven. Causes you to forget your Averis. Says Rav Yerucham, he goes, everybody's heard about working hard and learning. What is this? It doesn't say to work hard in learning alone. It says to also work hard in Derech Eretz. If you have a job, to work hard. And says Rav Yerucham, and you, if you don't believe me, it's in Das Chachma Musar Chelek Aleph. Before you throw tomatoes at me or get me fired, you can look it up and you'll see he says this. Perhaps he even says it more than I do. Rav Yerucham says, it says in my Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that it is Kodesh Kedoshim to be exhausted from a day of work. From a day of work. He says, when someone comes home and they worked hard on something, whatever, not Torah, Yigiyah Shnehem, Torah and Derech Eretz, it's Mishkachas Oven, it keeps them out of trouble. They're Pashat exhausted. In Bein Hazmanim, there's a very big Yisayid, which is to keep busy. To keep busy. Part of being a Yir Shemayim is playing basketball until exhaustion versus doing something that won't help you getting from one Zman to the next. As part of your preservation, you have to know what chills that are mutter and good and healthy that you like to do, and make sure that you have an anchor that whenever you want to access those things, you can. Whenever you want to get a pickup game, whenever you want to do whatever you want to do. But a person has, part of the structure is to have options of doing things that are chills. Because if I don't have properly, someone was telling me recently, today, they said, well, I could play guitar, I'm not all that good. So the answer is get good. You become, by the end of Bein Hazmanim, you're going to play for the Masiva. That's it. Because keeping busy is Kodesh Kedoshim. It keeps a person out of trouble. And a person has to make sure that their day is full. If somebody could have a job, Hinei Matovu Manayim, that's really Derech Eretz, to get a job. But we have to think about this. Okay, now we have another Nakuda which I would like to talk about, which is the sugya of friends. Okay, all of us come back to what we call old friends, right? This is a famous sugya. We have new friends and we had old friends, okay? And these old friends cannot be ignored. These are our boys. These are our boys. And they always will be. They always will be. So now, the idea of a chaver a chaver is a very important sugya, and a person just has to be wary. I'm not coming to answer the question. I'm just coming to bring the Surgeon General's warning on this sugya, which is that every morning we daven that we should not have a chaver ra, a bad friend. A bad friend. What's the definition of a bad friend? A friend who is destructive to us in any which way. Destructive to us. The Gemara says in Tmura that Otniel ben Kenaz, who was in the door of the Midbar, I'm sure he had a very good environment, he had a tefillah that was intense, Ta'kadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the things that he asked for, in addition to knowing his Torah, never forgetting his Torah, having Talmidim, having all the availabilities for things, he comes and he says, "Sheizdamnu li reim kamosi. I want to have friends like me. Friends like me? What does like me mean? Meaning, he's a very Otniel ben Kenaz, friends like me? Why I say friends above me? Friends? No, friends like me. Because a friend, if he's not enough similar to you, somebody's going to be affected over here. And you have to be wary of that. And you have to also know how to have relationships in a way that you can still be friends, but that friend should not damage. The friend should not damage. And you have to be mature enough to know how not to write people off, how to know how to make time for them on your turf. If there are two places you can go out for Motzei Shabbos with one of these guys, and you initiate, you call him, say, "I would like to go out to this place," and you know this place is Kasher V'Yasher. So first of all, you were the one who called him. I'm not telling you, it depends on the friend and how bad of an influence he is. I don't want you guys coming back with marijuana afterwards. But I'm just saying, he's a pretty good guy, but where he might take you is problematic. He might take you to a place like this. You call him and bring him on your turf. You invite him for a suda to your house on Shabbos. You bring him in your world. But the idea of knowing that friends are destructive, they are. And part of maturing in life is knowing how to find, it's true, when you're younger, you don't really need, you just go with the friends that have the biggest chill. But when you're older, friends have to be what we call constructive. I know that's a painful reality, and maybe it's not a bein hazmanim decision, because whoa, that's a scary one. But it's something at least to know about in the future, that friends have to be putting something in your life that's productive. If they're a chesed case of yours, they do not. They could be the biggest netbooks in the world. But if you decide that they're your friend, once you decide that they're your friend, they have to be introducing something into your life. And there are ways to allow people of less Yiddishkeit into your life where you can grow from them, if they're in fact people that have a constructive element. But that has to be thought about, because otherwise they're going to be dragging you around and you're going to feel guilty because he's one of your boys and you're not ready to make some scary decision. We're just talking about a preservation issue here. You have to wonder how you're going to deal, and each person has their own ways of doing this. Okay, now I want to come to one of my favorite topics, and this is my controversial one, which gets people angry. But I don't care. I like getting people angry. First of all, it makes it like action, you know, this way. It's not all this boring, like, yeah, okay, inspiring stuff. Let's get people angry a little bit. And the thing that I would like to say that gets people angry is I'd like to talk about the plane. Okay? The plane, I just came from America. The plane is one of the most painful things that I can see. It is so painful to me. For me to be on an LL plane. It's painful in other ways to be on other planes. However, it's painful for me to be on an LL plane for one particular reason. And that is the movies. When you go onto a plane, if you want to see what's happening to Klal Yisrael, the best place to go is a plane. Is a plane. You know, I've had all these situations where I've seen guys with brisker pace coming out to here and checking orange juice in the thing, making sure that it's badatz l'chola deis. And then there's zan einehem me'arayis. The same guy, everyone's davening chakras, guy's brisker payas flying out, flying away, right? And he's sitting there, and all these people are mukter b'tfillin. Now I want to explain to you what's happening to our generation. This is a very painful thing. Our generation is being destroyed. Not from Averis. This is not about watching movies. If anyone thinks that I'm talking about watching movies, I'm not. I know I know that behind a lot of the Svarim Shongs, they're rotating and they turn into a whole entertainment center and stages and there are actors inside there. I know what's going on. I've been around the block. But there's a mila to doing something privately. There's a mila to a bacher having a mita called busha. Now, if you go onto the plane with a Hawaiian shirt and, you know, a Speedo, no one's gonna think that you're a yeshiva bacher. I'm not suggesting you should do that. But I just want to explain the problem over here. That there are people who are proving to be with the Rabbona Shalom and they're not embarrassed to do things in public. Other plane rides, I stare the guys down. That Brisker guy, I'm like, doesn't work. So this plane ride, I tried something else. I watched the guy next to me, and I was getting chizuk. He was in front of me. He was learning a sefer in the beginning of the ride. Fine. Then what happens? Somewhere in the ride after Shacharis, the map goes on. Interesting, right? The map. And, wow, I didn't know there was places like that. I'm staring at him. Watch this. Suddenly, he starts blowing his nose, and he presses some buttons, and now the screen's on in a random thing. Now he's reading the subtitles. Look, this is a true story. This is what happens all the time. So he's reading them, but looking away. It's not really on. It's on by accident. I saw this guy. I'm like, oh, no. I can't handle this. So I didn't know what to do. I had this very scary guy sitting next to me. This guy was in front of me. I didn't feel like stressing myself out, and I didn't think it would work. Last time it didn't. So I start. V'taheli beinu. True story. L'yondecha b'emes. Now, Rabosai. Okay, then I tried two or three new gunim. He was looking around. Never do this at this point. I should have done it at the map. He was crinkling the headphones as I started my nigun. Once you start crinkling with the headphones, it's over, Rabosai. No niggun's going to save you. He looked back at me, but he said, Stark, take a hike. But this is painful for me. I'll tell you why it's painful for me. So many reasons it's painful. First of all, a person's going to Eretz Yisrael and back from Eretz Yisrael. And it's just in front of Am Ve'eda, you're saying that's who you are. In my opinion, that's a statement of saying that's who you are. Because you're willing to do things in front of people like that. It's a terrible thing, and everybody on the plane who's not from our circles basically understands that we're totally modern now. Everybody who's yeshivish is modern. The only difference is they vote for Gimel. But aside from that, they do everything like us. They go to beaches like us. They watch movies like us. Look, he's sitting right next to me. That's what he's doing. We have to realize that part of the Bein HaZmanim mode is there is a thought like this, that when you go on a plane, you're leaving yeshiva. How do you want Hashem to see you at the first moments you're leaving a yeshiva or coming to a yeshiva? Either as a response, Bari Elam, I want you to know, this whole Charef, look at this one. And there he is, 2 hours being Zan Ena from Arias. It's not about whether you watch movies. That's a scary decision. But there's other decisions in life. Like, I just came from yeshiva. I was just reflecting what a good Zman I had. Why is the thing that I'm doing as I leave Artzenu Akdosha or come to this place, this? I feel that's a different type of decision. It's not about what you use for entertainment. It's about greater statements in life. And it is more doable, Rabosai. People tell me they'll be bored. You know what I tell them? Take a hike. You be bored. Your great-grandparents went on ships to get to Eretz Yisrael if they were lucky and coughed up blood. And for months, they were on these ships. And you have to do, go, I'm bored. So sit there bored out of your mind. What kind of ethics do we have? If somebody says to you that you can shecht your next door neighbor, you'd say, I don't want to do that. Go, I'm warning you, you're going to be bored for 7 hours if you don't kill that guy. Okay, boom. What happened? What's with us? We can't sit there and stare into outer space for the Rabbona Shalom. Our great-grandparents coughed up blood. They died on Pekin Hashem. All they're asking us to do is read a boring magazine, eat some munchies, schmooze with the person next to us. What happened to us? What happened to us? And I think this is bigger. This is a bigger decision, and it's a smaller decision. It's bigger in its weight, and smaller in its issue. We're not talking about changing your lifestyle. We're talking about preserving Yiddishkeit. Preserving Yiddishkeit. This is a major problem, Ladaiti. We're not representing Borei Olam. We have to represent him. There's one thing what I do, and there's other what I represent. And this is a very chomer sugya. And we have to realize this. And I want to just talk about one more thing, which is there's one more thing to be wary of over Ben Ismadim, and that's messing up. Messing up. Messing up is the biggest reason for Yerida and Ben Ismadim. People think they have in mind what they want to do, and then they mess up. Who cares if you mess up? Of course you're messing up. You spent the whole winter in a place that was so structured. Now you're in a place that was exactly like the way you were in high school, and you're expected to do things that mamish you had no shaychus to in this environment. You're a hero. You're a hero to be doing anything in this place. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says that the definition of Bein HaZmanim is to see how good your Zman was. I don't disagree with Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. However, I disagree for our Bachram. If you live in Bnei Brak, okay, and you want to see how good your Zman is, so then you can check your Bein HaZmanim. Because Bnei Brak's a pretty safe place. But if your Bein HaZmanim is in places with so many Nisyonos, it's not fair to decide how great your Zman was based on your Bein HaZmanim, because your Bein HaZmanim, you're dodging bullets, and in yeshiva, everything's fine. It's not accurate. If you're in a place where you're just sitting there and there's nothing bad, and you picked up a sefer, yes, that shows your Zman was good. Look, you're picking up a sefer. However, in America, you're dodging bullets everywhere you go. So a person has to be fair with themselves. If you mess up, you just have to pick yourself up and say, Baruch Hashem. Like in a test, a person takes a test, right? 100 questions on the test, right? Let's say they get 5 wrong on the test. Get a 95. Who wouldn't want a 95? What's wrong with us? 5 mess-ups. 5 questions totally wrong on a 100 question test. A 95. But for some reason, that first one, and then it's just kaput. So there are 2 reasons for this. One reason, which I hope doesn't apply to anyone in this Beis Medrash, is they really wanted to fail. I know people like this. They talk the talk, but they're waiting, and they, oh, fail. Why do they go down so quickly? Because they wanted it to happen. And they're like, oh, I had a Yerida Rebbe, I don't know what happened. No, I'm back. No, you wanted it. But then there's a second guy, which is all of us, which is we give up on ourselves. We don't realize. 100 questions, 5 times wrong, is a 95. I never got a 95 in high school in my life. Like, I'd be dancing if I got a 95. I was a really bad student, not for now. I got my act together a little bit. But we have to be machazig ourselves. It's extremely hard. The world is nuts. It's nuts. You can't be a safe driver on the FDR without seeing your Ias Asuras. You can either kill yourself in a car crash, or see things terrible on the side of the road. You pick. Or not go anywhere. It's a crazy world, and Borei Olam knows that. And there's a big curve. There's a big curve. We shall be zeicha to make it from one zman to the next. Shalem. And with your Shemayim, Avos Hashem, Simcha, and be mekabel the Torah next month.